Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Okay, so we are zeroing in and finishing up on the prayer of commitment that we started some weeks ago. And our text, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 8 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Look at this person. He is not exalted. He has humbled himself. He is not exalted. Wow. You know, sometimes as believers, if we humble ourselves, we expect immediate exaltation. All right. You have a situation maybe towards somebody. You have a situation towards your peer, even your subordinate. You humble yourself and you are not exalted. Why? You feel that even humbling myself to obey the word of God in my relationship with this arrogant guy, it's not rewarding, because I humble myself. He doesn't greet me, I greet him, because the Bible enjoins me to do that. And then, look at me. I'm frustrated. I'm not exalted. The Bible says that you will be exalted in due time. Due time means at the right time. So if you humble yourself to live by the word of God and you are not exalted and people despise you and people think very low about you, there is a time God calls the due time. He will only exalt you in due time, not in the time that you want, but in his due time. Many times the time that we want to be exalted, there are times that we want to bluff. Human as we are, we want to be exalted so that we show them that God is also with us. We want to be exalted so that we prove a point. But God necessarily doesn't have that mind, that he is going to exalt you so that, you become like a puffed up against people who don't like you, or against, like people will see that you are also there. You are also good, also anointed, or you are also clever, or something like that. God doesn't necessarily want you puffed up against your enemies. No. So he says that humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So when you are not exalted, you have issues. That is where verse 7 comes in. Because you are not exalted, you have concerns, you have issues. It says that casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, Amplify says that casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties and your concerns on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. The basis of casting your care, which is the summary of the prayer of commitment, is that God cares for you, that God loves you, that God is concerned for you, although you are not exalted, although you look like you have been minimized before your friends, you have been humiliated, so to speak, before your friend. Because humility sometimes, it looks like a humiliation. Yeah. So although you are not exalted, God says that because I care for you. Don't think when you are low that he doesn't care for you. He says that I care for you affectionately and I care for you watchfully. Hallelujah. God cares for us not just because we are made in his image and he has to redeem his image from being like a caricature before humans and all that. You know, it's not really the reason. The reason is because he cares for you. Hallelujah. He loves us. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves us. And that is what must motivate you to cast your cares upon him. The reason he gave was is because he cares for you. He cares for you and I. Hallelujah. It's powerful. You must always bask in the fact that God loves you. Jude put it this way, Jude 24 or so. He said that keep yourself in the love of God. The love of God is like the sea. So big, 3/4 of the earth, you know. And, you know, life is also likened to being on the sea. Humans are referred to as the sea, you know. So whilst you are among mankind, you know, God wants us to cast our cares upon him, so that what? Because he cares for us, so that the situation will be remedied. Wonderful. Because he cares for us. Because he cares for us. I dwelt much on that during our first session, but look at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Be sober means that don't become intoxicated. You understand that? Don't drink alcohol so that you are controlled by alcohol. This is not talking about necessarily about the drinking of alcohol, literal alcohol. You take it and you gulp it into your esophagus. You know, this one. Oh, yes. You know, people, I don't have to waste my time with them. Because sometimes they don't want it in their mouth. They drop it deep inside. Because they know it's so good. So why do you have to drop it? Open your mouth, drop it. Deep in your mouth, it goes into the esophagus anyway. So he says that be sober, don't be intoxicated, because, ladies and gentlemen, you can get drunk on your problems. Problems can make you drunk. In other words, you can become problem boost, intoxicated with problems. Have you seen somebody who has been intoxicated with alcohol before? When he opens his mouth, what shoots out is the smell of alcohol. And then you duck or something like that. Because the fumes come in, you can't handle it. You know? So, similarly, the Bible says that we should not be, we can't be drunk with problems. That is why he said, cast your care. And he went on to say, be sober. Be sober means that don't be intoxicated. Don't be drunk, because your problems can influence you. Typically, when you are drunk with a problem, you know, what happens is that anytime you open your mouth, that problem comes out. That problem will come out. Have you met people like that? They have issues. And when they are talking with you, by the time they finish talking, their problem has come out. Sometimes it comes directly. Like these people too, and this economy too, and this pastor too, and this my boss too, and this my teacher too. You know, he has a problem with the teacher. He has a problem with an issue at home. And every time you are talking to the person has a way. That is when the person is drunk with the problem. He is not sober. He's intoxicated with the problem. So the problem is on his eyes. When I say that, you understand. Like alcohol or the eyes of people, you can see that the eyes is swimming. Swimming. Swimming eyes. So similarly, you can have issues, and when we look at your face, we see the issue in your eyes. You see, he's sad. He's sad. He's sad. You see that he's disappointed. You see that he's angry. You see it in the eyes. That is where you are not sober. You have issues. You are not exalted. You cast your care upon God. He cares for you. He says that take it easy. Take it easy. Don't be drunk with the problem. Don't let the problem consume you. Don't let the problem control you. Like a drunken person can be controlled by the alcohol. The way he walks, the way he talks by heart. You know, you can have problems in life, maybe with an aspect of your life, whether it's your academic or finances, making ends meet or whatever. Most of you are young. You don't know what problems can do. But I'm telling you, problems can so overwhelm you that you can talk by heart. And sometimes you wonder, what is wrong with so-and-so? I just greeted him. I just greeted him. Go away with your greetings. This guy. Somebody says, what is good about the morning? You see that something is doing him. You understand that expression? You come, you are so annoyed. What have we done? What is annoying you? You meet everybody, everybody sees that you are very annoyed. And then people say, hey, don't go. Today, don't go. The thing has come. The thing has come. Wonderful. Controlled by problems. Problems can make people talk by heart. Like for men, it is for women also. You don't know. Small trouble, or maybe big trouble, whatever trouble it is. You can handle it. That's why God allowed it to come to you. Small trouble at home, and you flare up. And your children wonder, hey, what is wrong with mommy? He's drunk. drunk, intoxicated with problems. Yes, there is an unfinished issue, unfulfillment. He's not exalted. What he's expecting. He has obeyed the word. He has lived by faith. There is nothing happening to him. So he can blow his top and talk by heart. You meet drunken people and they talk by heart. Sometimes they talk frankly. They are, you know, people, when they want to say the truth, sometimes for want of emotional strength and intelligence, they just drink so that they can talk their hearts. So I'm going to take, when I say take, you must understand it. I'm going to take it and give you my peace of mind. The Bible says that be sober. Don't go through life carrying all your problems on your eyes, on your face. It comes through your breath, through when we are talking to you. We see it in your walk and all that. This person has got issues. No, shouldn't be like that. Says, be sober. You've told God about it. He cares for you. So act it. Act it. Be sober. Don't be problem controlled. Be what? God controlled, because he cares for you. Okay? Beautiful. So he says what? Be sober, be vigilant. Oh, I have to teach you this. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Please underline, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil, the reason for the soberness and all that, sober and vigilant, you know, a drunk person cannot be vigilant. A drunk person, he staggers in the street, and then the car is coming, he can't be vigilant. He says that you don't be problem controlled. Now sometimes you meet people in the street, they are not drunk, but you see, they are talking on their lips. They are not mad. Psychologists will say it's a level of madness, but you see, you can't stand in the street and then be talking like that, and you horn, the person comes to himself and goes away. Says that be sober. Don't let your problem control you in your eyes and everything. And he says that be watchful. Look around because of something. Because your adversary, the person who doesn't like your exaltation, the person who doesn't like you, he is walking around, prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. You can be devoured even when you are down. You know, when you are not exalted, the problems can devour you. You can be devoured by the devil. But God doesn't want it so. That is why he says to us that the devil is like a roaring lion. Like a roaring, I want to show you something. Like a roaring lion, it means that he's not a lion. And he tries to act like a lion. It is only God who is a lion. Listen very carefully to me now. It is only God who is a lion. He is the Lion King. The jungle belongs to him, so to speak. The earth belongs to him. He reigns over all. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. He says that he tries to mimic God. He tries to do like God does. Now, let me take you to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 19, and then verse 12. Proverbs chapter 19 and then verse 12. It teaches us something about the lion. Proverbs chapter 19 and then verse number 12. What does it say? It says the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion. But his favor is like dew on the grass. This king is talking about who? God. He is our king. His wrath, his anger is like a roaring of a lion. So when the devil is crawling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, you know what he does? What he does is that he tries to give us the impression that God is angry with us. Because anger is like roaring lion. If you like algebra, anger equals roaring lion. Is that right? Yeah. At least we can get it from the book of Proverbs 19:12. The king's wrath is like. So we can say the king's wrath is equal to the roaring of a lion. So take the roaring of a lion and come and put it into First Peter. Substitution. We are doing mathematics now. You take it and come and put it there. You see that like a roaring lion is giving us the idea that the king is angry. Anywhere you see like a roaring lion, you can put in there, rather, is the king's wrath we have to substitute for the roaring lion in Peter chapter 5, verse 8.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So the devil is prowling around, giving us an impression that God is angry with us. And there are many people who walk through life like that. They think God doesn't like them. Believers, they think that God is against them. They think that God, they did something which is very bad, and they know God. That as for God, He is very vindictive. Vindictive means that if you touch Him, He will touch you back. If you touch His eye, He will touch your eye. That God, He doesn't forget what you do against Him. He will punish you for it. One day. How many of us are carrying such an impression about God? If you carry that impression, can you cast your care upon Him? No. Because you feel that, no. The devil is roaring. He is giving us a picture that God's wrath, the king's wrath, the king is annoyed with you. God is annoyed with you. And when you soak in, you take in that understanding, then He can devour you. Because then you cannot cast even your care. Or when you cast your care, you go and take it back because you can't trust Him. You can't predict God. Because when you cast your care upon Him and you do something which is not right and you disobey maybe in a certain way, God is going to forget about the thing that you cast upon Him. And He is going to punish you. How many people do not think like this? How many believers do not think that God has mood swings? That one time He is angry, the other time He is laughing, and the next time you do something, He's annoyed. The next time you do something good, He's happy. And the next time you do something bad, He's annoyed. So He goes from annoyed, happy, annoyed, happy. I don't want to serve an emotionally unstable God. Amen. How can I cast my care upon you? Because I don't know even that time whether you are annoyed or not. Oh yeah. I'll be afraid of God. Why is it that people carry their cares? Why is it that when God says, I love you, they still doubt that He loves them? Because they look at their lives and they say that, look, I'm a believer, but the way I'm living, I know myself. This is not my best life for God. So God must not be happy with me. I cannot cast my cares upon Him. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God cares for you. He is not annoyed with you. Don't mind the roaring of the lion. Because true, the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion. But I tell you what, God was annoyed with us in the Old Testament. At that time, Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. At that time, Jesus had not finished the wrath of God. The Bible called us children of wrath. In other words, God was always punished. When you read the Old Testament, don't you see that? Now God, you do this, He said, I will get you. He'll kill the sons of Aaron. Ah! You do that, He will get at you. That's an annoyed God. That is the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion. But He has stopped roaring. Amen. I said He has stopped roaring. Amen. The Bible says that much more, as we have believed in Him, we are saved from wrath through Him. Through Jesus. It's in Romans. We are saved from wrath. From anger. He swore in Isaiah 54, in Isaiah 53, Jesus died on the cross for us. Isaiah 54 records the results, the benefit of Isaiah 53. He said that this, the dying of Jesus on the cross, is like the waters of Noah to me. As I swore that I will no longer let the waters cover the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you again. Because somebody took all the anger of God. I will show you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That when he said, tetelestai, or finished on the cross, he was saying that the wrath, the anger of God is complete. Exhausted. It is too late. God cannot roar anymore. Because of what? Because of the cross. Because of what Jesus Christ did. He took all our sins. Once he took all our sins from Adam to the future sins of people yet to be born. Once and for all, he took everything. So that if somebody is born, Jesus doesn't have to come and go to the cross again to go and take that person's sins. I tell you, once he took the past, the present, and the future sins of all mankind upon himself. Because he was the cumulative sin of all mankind. All the cumulative anger of God against sin was rushed upon him on the cross. And God has to turn his face from him. And for the first time, he called God, God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He didn't say my Father. Because he knew in what capacity he was there for. He was there as us. He took all, oh hallelujah. He took all our sins. He took all the punishment for the sin. Because whoever bears the sin must bear the punishment. But how many believers today believe that although they are born again, yet the sin that they sinned is there? And because they committed that sin, then they are not living well. The anger of God is against them. Do you know what they are doing? They are letting the devil devour them because he is roaring as if God is still roaring. He has stopped roaring. On the cross was his last roar. When Jesus said, you are forsaking me, that was his last roar. And God says that, look, the dying of Jesus is like the waters of Noah to me. If I abide by it, I'm going to abide by the fact that I will not be angry with you again. Hallelujah. Then he said in that same verse that, look, the mountains can depart and the hills can be moved, but my loving kindness shall never depart from you, says the Lord. Who has mercy on you? The Hebrew word translated mercy on you is fondle, as in fondling a love object, says the Lord who fondles you. He takes us in the palms of his hand. He loves us like we will fondle our dog and rub ourselves. God loves us. He takes us in his arm and he fondles us. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't let the devil lie to you that God is angry with you. He is not angry with you. He can't be angry with you because the anger is finished. Finished. Hallelujah. Amen. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So Peter is telling us, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary is still trying to give an impression about God which is wrong. An impression that does not respect the cross, that does not respect the effect of the cross in the lives of people who lived after the cross. He is still roaring. He's still giving you an impression that God is against you, that God is going to destroy you. Yeah, sometimes believers, they look into the future and say, oh, the future is unknown. I know the future. The future is unknown. Hey, pastor, right now, maybe you have money. Tomorrow, you may not have. It's a lie. Amen. It's a lie. Amen. God does not give you money and he takes it back. He is not a taker of money from his people. Amen. God gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. Otherwise, how can you have abundance? But here, some of you believe, because I didn't do that, God is going to, oh, God is not wicked. He's going to scatter my finances. He's going to mess up my children. Who said it is God who is messing up your child? It's the devil. He wants to give you a certain picture about God, which is wrong, a wrong picture about God. Because he was Lucifer, the son of the morning. Son of the morning means that when Lucifer came to heaven, morning dawned. came to heaven into inverted commas, of course. When Lucifer appears, light has come. Revelation of God has come. Hallelujah. But when he fell, he decided, I'm no more going to reveal God. I'm going to give a bad picture about God to his children, to the world. If I can convince them that God loves them, yes, but God is still that vindictive God, touchy-touchy, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth God, that he will get at you. As for God, he's a judge. He will punish you and all that. Hey! Then he can mess up God's children. Then he can devour them. Then they will not cast their curse upon him. They will carry their curse until their curse are showing on their faces. Premature gray hair, premature wrinkles, premature. You're a small boy. You look like your grandfather. Abba! You are carrying your institution. You are carrying your church. You are carrying everything. Who said you should carry it? Can you carry it? Why are you looking as if life is so difficult? Why? Who said it's difficult? It's not difficult. Is it difficult? Eh? Is life difficult? I think life is very simple. Life is simple. It's the devil who makes it complex for us. Simple, simple. What you can do, do. What you cannot do, don't worry. Isn't that simple? Abba! What you can do, do it. If you reach your place, your finances cannot do it. Say, God, this is the end. I can't continue. You, come and take over. It's not my care again. You brought human beings into the world. Come and take care of them. You understand that? Did you bring human beings into the world? Some of you, you did things that you didn't know human beings would even come. And they came. My friend, stop what you are doing and know that you cannot carry your family, you cannot carry your child, you cannot carry your church, you cannot carry your tribe, you cannot carry the continent of Africa, you cannot carry humanity. Simple, oh, cast it upon him. He himself said, cast it upon him. But the devil wouldn't want you to do it. He wants to devour you with high blood pressure. He wants to devour you and look like an old man when you are just 60 years old. He wants to make you look like himself. Wrinkled. By the way, he's beautiful. You see, it's all because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. In other words, when God gives you a gift, it's not something you earn, though. He gives you a gift. He himself doesn't come and say, okay, I gave you that talent. I gave you the money. I gave you the wife. Now, because of the fact that you are doing so and so and so and so, I'm going to take your husband away. I'm going to take your money away so that you become poor. He doesn't do that. He gives and then he's hands off. He makes you beautiful, hands off. Whoever makes you ugly is not the devil. He gives us a nice nation. Whoever is destroying our rivers with galamsey, whoever is destroying our people, it's not God. It's not God who is punishing black people. Jesus Christ, help us. It's not God who is bringing all the troubles, all the earthquakes, and all the difficulties. It's not God. He doesn't give you an earth and turns back that I would destroy the earth. Human beings are destroying it, and the devil is destroying it. Do you hear that? God doesn't give and take. Job said that the Lord has given, the Lord has taken. Listen, Job said in Job chapter 42 that I uttered things that I did not know. He uttered that thing. He was in a kingdom system. If you know, Job lived right after Adam. Adam is the oldest book in the Bible. Before Moses wrote his books, you know, so to speak, before we got them as an intact thing, book in the Bible. Job said the Lord took, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. It's not true. Eh? God doesn't give and then he comes and takes it away. The Bible says that every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the heavenly kingdom above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness. You know, that was, he doesn't vary. He's stable. He's love always. Neither shadow of turning. In other words, every good gift that you see, he doesn't turn around and say, I'm coming for my gift, because you don't use it. It's there. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. He cares for us. I've gone through all this to make you to understand that God cares for you. And don't let the devil, who comes roaring like a lion to give us an impression that God is angry with us, don't let him devour you. with that understanding, that religious understanding, that read the Bible. Even Moses, when he did that and he went to get angry, God banished him from the promised land. So you too, God come. It's not like that. Hallelujah. You cannot lose your salvation. How can you lose your salvation when you don't want to lose it? You can't lose it. God saves you. He saves you forever. Hallelujah. It's powerful. He loves you. He loves you to the end. He is not annoyed with us. Hallelujah. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.